the batch of 1981 with 70 male officers, I was the only lady. I was very uncomfortable and the boys were very unhappy. They used to try to persuade me and convince me that Indian police is not meant for women. Uh-huh. All the 3.5 years where I worked as chief of crime branch, I wore uniform. I realized if I wear my uniform, the criminal will look at my uniform and then for him, gender won't matter. I love it, the fact that India today has a voice. India is being heard. India is being taken seriously and India means business. So remember 26/11? Yeah. So what did India do?
Nothing.
We did not retaliate at all. Today the message is you dare,
right,
and we will not allow it. You will pay for it.
Hello, my name is Anupam Kher. Welcome to my show where every week we take a deep dive into the multi-layered world of India, Bharat. And tonight's guest is a true trendsetter. She's an author and a distinguished retired officer of the Indian Police Services with some 40 years of service behind her. Welcome, Meera Chadha Borwankar.
Meera Chadha Borwankar is a retired IPS officer known for her integrity and fearless leadership in high-stakes policing. She played a key role in the 1993 Mumbai Blasts trial, supervised the execution of terrorist Ajmal Kasab, and was the first woman to head Mumbai's crime branch. Borwankar also broke new ground as the first woman to become a district police chief in Maharashtra, and later served as a police commissioner, setting a precedent for women in Indian law enforcement.
Welcome to the show. Let's talk Bharat. Namaskar. Thank you for coming. Very rarely we get police officers of such amazing accomplishments. I am very proud of the fact that, and it's not a condescending attitude towards women. My mother was like a police officer. She still is. My grandmother was like a police officer. Police officers basically instill discipline in you, not fear. And you had your father who was in the police department. How did you decide to sort of get into this department?
So actually my father was not in favor of joining police.
Okay.
I belonged to 1981 batch. But as a child, I was very fond of horse riding. You know, Punjab police has lots of horses.
Yes.
I used to play cricket in my college.
Yes.
And I was a good shot. We had a .22 rifle at home. I was better than my brothers.
Okay.
But still, when it came to joining civil services, my first attempt, I joined Indian Audits and Accounts.
Okay.
I felt I'm not suited for it. And next year, I appeared again and got into IPS. And in the batch of 1981 with 70 male officers, I was the only lady. But that's how I landed up.
And your father was holding what rank when he was in the police department?
He was from Punjab Police. Mm. He was commandant in BSF.
Oh, wonderful. And your brothers, did any one of them joined?
No, they said government doesn't pay you enough.
So what was your passion to get into police?
Uniform. My father's uniform was so powerful.
There were 70 officers, one female officer, young female officer. Did you feel that you have to be extra powerful or extra thoughtful?
No, no, but I was very uncomfortable. Mm. I didn't realize there will be only one lady.
Right.
And the boys were very unhappy.
Yes. Okay.
They said either there should have been no lady officer or there should have been a big number.
Yeah.
And they used to try to persuade me that go back into Indian Audits and Accounts.
Right.
And convince me that Indian police is not meant for women.
Uh-huh.
But I thought they have no right to, I mean, like, persuade me or convince me. So I just stuck around.
So environment was hostile or it was okay?
See, as
or you used to just ignore this atmosphere?
As far as the faculty was concerned, there had been before me about 15, 16 lady officers. They were positive. But my batchmates were definitely hostile. I've written in my book.
Yes, yes.
See, my name is Meera. And that time, very famous song was Pag Ghunguru Bandh Meera Nachiye. So they would play that at night. And at one time, when because
how old are you at this time? How old were you at that time?
About 23.
Wow, so matlab.
And one time, since I used to shoot, not your kind of film shooting,
no,
but .22, I did rather well in shooting. And the officer next to me, trainee officer, he said she should be asked to repeat. It's a fluke. She cannot fire that well. So that kind of prejudice bias existed those days. But I wish to tell you that currently the batch under training in the National Police Academy, Hyderabad, out of 200 officers, 58 are women.
Wow, what an amazing achievement. And it's because a person like you stuck around, did not go to audit and things like that. You're a real role model. And again, I feel that women today, we had a fleet of only women which went around the world as a Navy fleet. We have the woman president. But so there are two ways one can go around with something like this that is happening in police academy or department. Did you ignore these people, this Pag Gunguru Meera Nachi thi, or did you confront ever, or did you report to the authorities, or how did you deal with it? You need a nerve of steel for that.
So I reported, but the first joint director whom I reported, he was looking after the police academy. He said, fend for yourself. I mean, like, you decided on your career. I said, okay, but still, since I continued to be discomfort was very high. You can imagine huge police officers mess, 70 male officers eating, one lady officer. Then I went to the other joint director and he said, okay, from tomorrow this particular that record will not be in officers mess. And it was quietly taken away, no protest by anyone. But till today my batch wonders who was the one who used to play it every day.
And even you don't know?
No, I don't know. But with this 58 women today, I want to say this shows how India is changing, how Bharat is changing.
Exactly, exactly. What do you think has happened? What is this change? What do you attribute this change to?
I feel education, ambitious parents, especially ambitious mothers, and then liberalization, internet, you know, now women can achieve, they have been achieving. That message has spread. See, earlier when I was in police as a young SP or as a young DCP, a constable with me or a sub-inspector working with me would have an ambition for his son. Today he has, and he is equally ambitious for his daughter. That has changed India.
And one aspect of it says that the police, your colleagues, how was it like dealing with male people who were brought in as criminals? How was your attitude with them and how difficult was it to deal with them, male criminals?
So I was cautious. I also understood that gender is a handicap in this totally male-dominated department. Society and my department. And coming from the police family background, I had some very strong signals, antenna. I realized if I wear my uniform, the criminal will look at my uniform. She is the SP. And then for him, gender won't matter.
Right. Absolutely right.
And when I was chief of crime branch in Mumbai, in your city, crime branch does not wear uniform. Officers in crime branch are in what we call civils.
That's right.
All the 3.5 years where I worked as chief of crime branch, I wore uniform. Because I was not only dealing with ordinary criminals, I was dealing
underworld.
With... Yeah, absolutely.
I know that in your time, underworld was at its peak.
So they also respect uniform, rank.
Right.
That's what I used my native intelligence to neutralize.
I was here when this underworld... Especially underworld had penetrated in film industry at that time in a big way. We all know that. But give our viewers a scenario at that time. How was the underworld operating and what were the challenges that you were facing?
So the underworld lived on the fear of citizens, especially citizens who had made big time, who had money. They would threaten them And the fear went so deep that citizens and businessmen, especially sometimes even professionals, I'll tell you about another case, they would pay up and will not report us. And if you refuse to pay, organized crime would either organize a firing at your house, in your office, to threaten you. If you still did not pay up, then they will have cold-blooded murders. But in the case which I said I will talk to you about, we had intercepted organized crime giving threatening calls to about 10 reputed doctors of Mumbai. And none had approached us. We went approaching them. Sir, we know you have got a call. Please don't agree to pay up. We will neutralize. So businessmen, film industry, even professionals, they were getting calls and feeding on the fear factor. They made big time money, these organized criminals.
One of my uncle was in the IB. So he used to tell us about different kind of police cases, not necessarily his department. And did you do any interrogation in front of the person?
That was my bread and butter.
So you were a tough lady, or you were you used to manipulate conversation, or it depended on what?
No, I am a professional police officer. We are taught the skill of interrogation, and I went strictly by rule. And using common sense, I could get a lot out of the accused I was interrogating. And sometimes I also felt my gender was my asset, because they felt what they are confiding in me.
It was, yes. Okay.
I will respect that.
Right. And did you, because you had a family, you had a husband, you had two children, did you ever feel their safety was in jeopardy because of you being who you are, ever?
Yeah, so many times.
Yeah.
In fact, my own safety, the first letter, it was a horrible letter sent to me. I will do this to you.
Really? What did you do?
Tore it, threw it, and never told my family about it.
So this mindset is given to you during the training, or you build this mindset of this kind of attitude, mental strength, how does one get it?
See, I'm a normal person. I was a young girl, maybe a little strong than others. Then training, and then everyday interaction, you are interacting. In fact, you know, sometimes I used to find it so difficult to interact with college students when I would be invited as a guest, because I'd got so used to talking only to criminals. So training and constant interaction and a desire that now that I have entered this service, I have to do something. And for a long time I was in this, you know, that I have to prove myself.
Right.
It's very late in my career that I relaxed and I said, okay.
I've done it. I proved.
Yeah.
So you were a good cop or a bad cop?
It depends.
Okay.
Yeah. I have seen that my officers working with me have portrayed me as such a bad cop that even a gangster would start trembling.
That's not a good reputation.
No, so it depends. Sometimes they would portray me, madam to bahut daya, ma'am is very, you know,
kind-hearted.
She will help you out. So it depends, like you have different roles.
Roles, that's right, yeah. You have mentioned somewhere, I was reading your research, that women have sturdier hands. Now, is it a physical statement or is it a statement? Can you explain this?
Both. So, this episode where I fired well and we were in the shooting range and the officer felt it was a fluke, the officer with me. Our Ustad, the trainer who trains us in the academy, he had shouted, he said, don't doubt her. We have been watching women, police officers, and their hands are steadier than those of men. So that, it's a physical kind of attribute of women. But over years of service, I've also seen that mentally and emotionally women are stabler, steadier. Therefore, the need that we must have more women in all walks of life.
I totally agree. You think crime has changed in the past few decades, or is it now easier for law enforcement, or more difficult, especially with new technology?
No, technology is very helpful.
Yeah.
I have been part of a committee in CID, you know, Crime Investigation Department.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we used to select the best detection of the month.
Mm.
Invariably, it was with the help of technology.
Mm.
So, not only has technology helped us in solving the cases, but also when it comes to submitting that particular evidence in the court, courts accept them more than mere statement given by you or me.
Right.
So, technology any day.
You think the portrayal of police in cinema has become better than it was earlier?
I feel now we are going to another extreme. Initially, many a times we showed police as a corrupt pot-belly officer. Today we have gone to the Singham 1, Singham 2, where you are trying to portray an officer with the kind of power and authority as if he is like God.
He's Superman.
Yeah, Superman.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't think, I feel very few movies are still showing
balanced
police officer.
Right. I think in Mumbai police is really fantastic because we have so many people from all over the place coming over here, different cultures, different this thing. And then we handle so many festivals, especially Ganpati and so other festivals so brilliantly. When you are in charge of, like you are a commissioner of police of a particular city, you have a war room or a, what is that room called where you are? You have every, all the details given?
Control room?
Control room, yeah. War room is in the army. Yes. So, do you sit in that and do you give instructions over there or it's taken for granted that it will happen?
Our officers are well trained. Most of the time they are able to handle the situation on their own. But sometimes, yes, we go in and every time I visit a control room, I feel that how they maintain their blood pressure. So many distress calls, so many requests for help. And violence sometimes in festivals, it's the crowd management. So, police officers, even if they're sitting in the control room, they should be given credit.
Absolutely.
Not only do they maintain their balance, they give directions.
Right.
Okay, this van will go to this place and how you will handle X issue and who will be sent for handling Y issue. So, from constable up to the DG, I want to say that police officers do their best. As a citizen, you may not always be happy. But the constraints within which we work, if you put them and put yourself in those, you will appreciate what a tough task it is for a police officer.
It is, of course. Has it ever happened in your career that you have taken a certain decision and there is a political interference?
Oh, so many times.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we were on crowd control, so I'll tell you about an incident which happened in Mahim when I was DCP. Later on, I'll talk about the political interference also. In this particular case, if you remember, two nuns had been raped and murdered in Mumbai, and the case was undetected.
Oh, which was this? Which year?
This would be about
1989 or 90. Yes, I think I remember reading about that.
So, it was undetected and suddenly during the prayers in a church, the father said, the Christian priest, that it's very unfortunate police has not detected, let's take a procession to the police station. And we had already given permission to another community to take out procession. They came face to face and commissioner was telling me that you pick up the Christian priest and bring him to the police station. And I thought, then this whole procession will become headless. And the commissioner repeated the instructions on wireless. It was audible to everyone. And my reaction was, sir, I'm the man on the field, let me decide. He kept quiet. I did not pick up. And the senior inspector Mahim and ACP Mahim, they somehow managed to control both the crowds. Wow. And see, the commissioner did not hold it back. Though he had interfered, he scaled me very high on handling law and order issues.
Wonderful.
So interference sometimes can be with very good intentions.
Right.
And in a very positive manner, like in this, I didn't suffer, though it was nearly touch and go. About political interference, this issue has been taken up quite a bit. When I was Commissioner of Police Pune, I was asked to hand over 3 acres of land to a private builder by a very powerful local politician. I refused because that was police land. So interference, sometimes good, sometimes bad, but the strength of Indian bureaucracy and polices, that most of the time we are able to withstand. Unfortunately, sometimes we bend.
So at the end of it, it's basically a personal person, he or she decides in any field, in anything, integrity of a situation.
But you know, initially Indian civil services were called the steel frame.
Okay.
We would not bend. We will stick to our position, our principles, our value system. Unfortunately, that steel frame now, the word used, it's rusted. So it's in the interest of citizens. Don't let it rust. Let it be as strong as it should be.
Who should do that?
Of us together.
All of us together. That's right. When did you start writing books? When you are an author, and we have some of your books here. It's called Madam Commissioner. It's your autobiography.
It's about
some kind of a
career. It's only about my career, not my personal life.
As a police officer.
Yeah.
That is one. Then this is Leaves of Life. I like your title.
This is for the youth. It is motivational.
Okay.
Each chapter has lessons learned and action points.
Wonderful. And this is Inspector Chogle.
This would interest you as a filmmaker.
Really?
These are real police stories. Except for one. One is fictional. I was very pained, so I have written, I have made a story out of what I felt. Rest all are real police stories.
That incident? What was that pained incident?
Oh, this was an incident when a young boy had been killed of a particular community, and another community took objection to his eating habits. And it was I felt it was a cold-blooded murder. So that's rest all are real stories.
Fantastic. Would you like somebody to make a biopic on your life? You still get pained by that?
I don't know. I mean, like.
No, I'm coming to the previous question. You still get pained by this incident that you narrated just now?
Every day, yeah. When you hear and you know, I think one reason for my joining police and sticking to it was strong sense of justice.
Would you be interested? Would you like to have your life portrayed on a celluloid?
So this, since the release of this book, many times it has been asked to me, and I feel I would like it only if it is handled in a very matured way.
What does that mean?
Yeah. So I'll tell you one incident. When I was a crime branch chief, one day. Crime branch of Mumbai. My DCP entered. He was very agitated when he entered my chamber. And he said, this guy is not picking up my phone. He's under threat. He was one of you, very famous. I don't want to name him because I haven't taken his permission. Producer, director. And he said, the gangsters are waiting downstairs. He's on the first floor and they will shoot him. And he's not picking my phone. I don't want him to come down. I said, okay. Relax, let me dial him. And all of you in film industry, you keep the phones of Commissioner of Police, Joint Commissioner Crime.
Yes.
So when I rang him up on his mobile, he picked up. And I said, do not come down. I'm Meera Borwankar speaking. I'm the Joint Commissioner Crime. Do not come down. He said, madam, can I make a movie on you?
Okay. At that moment also.
So that's why I feel anyone who writes about me, I'm boring, I'm interesting, I'm a housewife, I'm a mother. You have to take all the aspects.
Do you believe India's current counter-terrorism strategies along with diplomacy are modern examples of wise government?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love it, the fact that India today has a voice. India is being heard. India is being taken seriously. And India means business. That word has gone around.
What do you think has changed that?
So remember 26/11?
Yes, of course. I did a film on it, Hotel Mumbai. I played the Chef Oberoi, which was made an international film on that.
Yeah. So what did India do?
Nothing.
We did not retaliate at all.
At all.
And by the way, I was the prison chief of Maharashtra. And in front of me, Ajmal Kasab, we hanged him following all the procedures of law. From lower court to the high court to the Supreme Court, his appeal had been rejected. President of India had rejected his appeal. So you hang a terrorist, but you don't do anything else. And more than 250 people, innocent people, lost their lives.
Yes, of course it was.
Today the message is, you dare.
Right.
And we will not allow it. You will pay for it.
Yes.
That. And another thing in the foreign policy, you know, that too much of in awe of being white man and us being having this feeling that, okay, we are not up to the mark, they are superior. India today has established we are equals.
Or better
and
sometimes.
And decisive, yeah. I didn't want to say that.
No, or better sometimes. I think the credit for goes, that goes, people are very diplomatic, and but I always say the credit for that goes to the present government and the leadership. The way our foreign minister speaks abroad is fantastic. The way Prime Minister Modi has taken India to another level. Today you feel very proud when you are abroad and say, I'm from India.
Absolutely.
Also they look at you from a different point of view.
Absolutely.
Yeah. My last question. Do you have any plans to go to politics?
Oh, not at all.
Right?
No. I'm a happy grandmother. I'm a happy mother. I'm a family person. I like to work. I like to keep myself busy. But politics is not for me.
Do you tell your adventure story to your grandchildren or children?
Just now they're too small.
Too small. But did you tell them to your children?
Very rarely.
No? So you kept your work outside the house?
I had a lurking fear that they, both my boys, they get overawed by my uniform. So I better work, better be a very normal
mother.
So that they, and they have done very well. They are very bright boys and they appreciate what their mother did. But I was very conscious of the fact that my uniform should not overpower the atmosphere at home.
It's been fascinating talking to you. Thank you, Meera Chadda Borwankar, and thank you for watching. Join me again next week as we uncover new layers to the great nation of India, and let's talk Bharat. Thank you. Thank you so much.